Okay.
I'm cooking up something, Frank.
Yeah, but I didn't hit the timer either. All right. I was supposed to hit the timer. I didn't. All right. Fish and Frank here. And we have Pastor Donnie. And we have Captain Kale, Captain Barry, and a cast of characters. Literally like four. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Is anybody there? Hello?
Tessie?
All here.
Here. Know. Present.
I think something happened to my headphones. I can't hear anybody.
Oh, no.
All right.
So, are we on the little thingy?
Yeah.
I mean, on the screen.
It's recording.
All right.
My headset died. So, anyway.
You got the right headset on.
Well, yeah, this is either going to work or you're going to get 30 minutes of silence.
Yeah. So, one way or the other. All right, let me go back.
Some people would think that the 30 minutes of silence.
Blasting there.
All right, we're blasting.
Okay. Anyway, Cooking Fish is the name of the show.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about sun-dried fish, where you take a fish and you throw it in the sun and eat it later because it's so yummy. Really?
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yes, it does. And you know, when you're in Philippines, do as the Philippines do. And so you do it, and it turns out wonderful. So it works. But I think let's start it off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. All right.
I definitely think we should pray before this one.
Somebody should be praying for this show. That's what I'm praying for.
My bad. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such another glorious day, Father, and for all the preparation time, for the opportunity to fellowship here with our brothers and sisters. And, Father, hopefully put out another great recipe. And more importantly, tickle somebody's ears out there in radio land that they'll hear something new. And Father, they'll come to glorify you in everything we say, do, and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, all right, so we're going to talk about sun-dried fish, huh?
Are we going to need Publix as our sponsor? Are we going to need to get any ingredients here?
Well, that was my next question. Does Publix have it?
No.
No, all right.
I think this is a dish that is probably limited to third world countries. But I could see how it could apply here in Florida.
Yes.
I'd love to try it.
It's good.
And I don't see why we couldn't do it with ingredients from Publix.
Yes. Yeah.
And do it better.
Our soon-to-be sponsor.
Okay. Publix is a bright, sunny place. We got the sun covered.
Yeah.
They got salt.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything all right, else
but that's
need?
That is well, not sure. What they use. Time out. That's
let's
not
go,
what
let's
they
go
use.
Let's go over how they did it.
Yeah,
first.
We'll tell you how they did it before okay. We plug. Publix does not sponsor us, but we would love for them to do that. So if Publix, anybody out there listening, hook us up, man. We plug you a lot. All right, so here's what they do over there. They take some basically old fencing, all right, some metal fencing, and they make almost like a gate for a fence, like a to-and-fro gate, all right? So it's about that size, and they'll put some smaller lines in there, all right? So it's not the big regular holes that you get, but, you know, they're thinning out because these fish aren't very big. These fish are not very big at all.
And the gate's like when you say this piece of metal that represents the gate is like 4 feet wide, is it like how big would you say it is?
I would say between 3 and 4 feet wide.
Okay.
Your standard typical gate going inside, I think it's 38 inches, I think.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. And they make the mesh size of the
is pretty thin now. Right. Yeah, that's that they have that pretty close together.
Okay.
Because like I said, these are small fish, right? when they go out and catch these fish, for one, a lot of them are using cast nets to get this, okay, in the bulk, so that are going to make the dry fish. But some of them put 4 or 5 hooks on just a little round thing that they hold in their hand, and they'll toss this out, and then they'll wait until they get bit on that. And then they'll have a little pocket net that they'll stick these things in, okay? But they'll come back to, they call that the dogot, okay? That's their ocean, okay? So when they come back in, they'll have these this fencing up. And they'll put the net down. They'll clean off like a piece of cardboard or something like that to put the fish on so it's not in the sand and all that. They'll take the fish out, and they'll make a little line cut in their belly.
Yep.
They'll take the little finger. Of course, their fingers are smaller than mine, so I'm going to use my pinky. But they swipe out that middle stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Just the guts. They just take out the guts. Guts.
Like sure. That. And then they'll, boom, and they'll stick that down with the
flat
side open. So their skin side is down.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Just. I'm sorry. So they like the belly is wide open.
Yeah, the belly's wide open, almost like a butterfly.
Yeah, okay. Almost butterfly.
Right. Almost butterfly with the raw up. Okay.
Okay.
And he'll place these all over this thing, you know, as many as he can get on there, and then it'll take it out by the dugout. They have these big flat rocks that they've had there for years and years and years. And it'll sit there. And what's going on is the waves are coming in and hitting the rocks. The water is spraying up on top of the fish. Now, it's hot.
Sure.
Florida's hot.
Philippines
hot.
Is another hot.
Oh, my gosh, is it hot. I mean, you're talking about – it's like taking some ants and putting a magnifier over top of it, you know? It's very hot.
Is it? I know this is like, I hope it's not too sidetracked of a question, no. Is it like humid as well, or is it like just a dry heat?
I would say humid.
It's humid like here?
Yeah. I mean, as long as you got a little bit of that wind. It really depends on where you are on the island.
Okay.
Where we're at here is a little bit more of the humid. Because I am sitting there kind of sweating at it, you know, a little bit, and it's kind of hard to breathe a little bit. But in other parts of it, I mean, you just get nothing.
Okay.
And it's just dry.
I just wanted to compare, like, here in Florida to the Philippines to see if this is something feasible.
I would almost say in our hottest part of the summer, you're dead on it.
Okay.
Just dead on it. Okay. You know, you're probably, what, June, July, August?
Sure. And this is feasible.
Somebody told
anywhere.
Me that Australia, parts of Australia, hit like 130 or 40.
I can believe
year.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what they're going to do, now they start early on in the morning to get this process going.
Okay.
By this time, you're talking 9 o'clock, 9:30, these fish are out there getting ready to be sunned up, you know, and that will sit out there for most of the day. And what they'll do is they'll keep letting that water come up and spray it, and then after a time, he'll go over and he'll flip these things. He'll just take his hand, flip them, you know, and then there's a vinegar onion. They have these little small peppers. I'll have to get you guys the names of it.
Now we're getting into why you like it.
Oh gosh, yeah,
the heat.
Oh
the
man.
Spice.
Well, not just that. The vinegar
and the lime
is an acid. The lime is an acid.
Yep. So that's helped cooking it.
What they're doing is half drying, half smoking, half ceviche.
Yeah.
It's a ceviche thing, yeah.
It is kind of.
It's
a third of a.
This is no different than salting trout.
Okay.
Freshwater trout and laying them out to dry.
Right.
And then putting them in a smoker to make jerky.
I can see that.
But then you don't have the smoke.
Right.
So they're finishing up with the acid to help cook
off
the last of the meat.
Now, I will tell you.
And flavor it.
It smells. Right.
Right. So,
well, here, if you go back to 1705.
Yeah.
And the year 1705.
Frank was here, by the
way. Yes, he was.
I was directing him in the harbor. when I first saw the Spanish and the Cubans coming into Charlotte Harbor, I tried waving them off,
No.
Hey, we got Indians here right now. You know, you guys look like you're going to be trouble. But, you know, no, they decided to settle in Yusapo. But they came for the mullet run because boats then were either rowing or sails.
Right.
And the sails weren't that good either. So when you had millions of mullet going out in giant schools, they could go out and catch a lot of fish.
Yep.
So that was the reason they started going here. And then they could send it back to Europe, and it would hit just about the time for Lent, you know, by the time they process it. But the way they did it here was sun-drying the fish. They would take off the slabs, leave the skin on, and set them down, then take lead weights and put it on top of the meat to get some of the moisture out to limit the maggot damage.
I'll be darned.
And the lead would heat up in the sun.
Yeah. They used this. It was sun-dried, but they would also use lead presses on them, you know, lead weights to help get the moisture out. But they would process tons of fish here, load it into boats, take it to Europe, and sell it.
Because fish processed like that has a much, much, much longer shelf life.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost, yeah.
It's like jerky, I mean.
Yeah, dried fish. And, you know, they'd throw a bunch of salt on it because they could get salt just by throwing water up on a rock and letting it dry. The salt would build up.
Now, I will tell you, this guy that's doing this, he's caught the fish. He's put the fish out there. He's processing this fish. He watches this thing. And so, I mean, he's got a whole section there just for him. I mean, it's public land and all that, but that's his spot. That's where he's going to cook this at. I think the way I looked at him, and my language is not the great there, but watching him, if he didn't think enough water was coming off the ocean spraying it, he would go down and get a bucket of this and kind of sprinkle it out there.
Sure.
He wanted that salt on the fish. And so I'm watching this stuff. I'm fantasizing. You know, I'm like, wow, this is just, this is awesome, you know? And so I go up to him and I said, yeah, Colin? And he says, no. And I said, all right, so what are you going to do with it? He said, Ogma, you know, the next day. And I said, oh, okay, this is a process. And so, sure enough, the next day he's down there, and I'm like, I like to try one of those. And he's like, absolutely. And so I try one, and it actually does taste good. It does not taste like what it smells like, so get past the smell. But you can't eat it. It's a very good tasting deal. It's very salty, but it does have an interesting flavor to it.
A unique flavor.
Yeah. Now, they also do this.
Is that like that he was – there's video of you eating these duck eggs that are like
– That's called balut.
Actually, you like a duck in them when you're eating it?
Yeah.
Kale, I think Kale's salivating over here.
This is not just an egg with a duck.
It's like a tomato, Kale. How could you possibly eat it?
Kale, tell us how you really feel, Kale.
I don't know how you can do it.
This is a rotten, fermented duck.
No.
In an egg.
No, that's not what it is. No.
That's exactly what it is.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's really.
They bury it in the
ground. No, that's a different way of doing it. No, in the Philippines they do balut very different. This is called balut. You gotta say it.
Balut.
Yes.
No, balut. No, you gotta say it. Balut.
Balut.
All right, there you go.
Balut. That's as close balut. As I'm gonna get.
Just saying it.
All right, so here's how they do
you
it.
Didn't bring an egg or on a plane back for Kale?
No, man, no.
Yeah,
I don't think they would let me do
it. Can you imagine Donnie sitting in the chair with that egg going,
actually, they make balut here. And if I can find out the exact location, I'm going to take
it.
Maybe
Publix has like some.
No, this is up in town.
Publix is too good for that.
No. What they do, you get them for between 16 and 22 weeks. You do not, listen to me very carefully, you do not want to eat a 22-week-old balut. You don't. That is, I'm sorry, I'm not a drinker. That is only 21, 22 weeks is when you are plastered drunk and having a really bad day. And they do it over there. That's when they do it. They get drunk and they... And
beak, hey, does the beak stick you? Is that why?
What this
buddy,
is,
that's full feather, full bone.
It's the pickled eggs of the Philippines.
No.
You go to the bar and you see that jar of purple eggs.
Yeah. No.
Nobody eats
this
those until
like
they're
the
drunk.
Pickled pig's feet.
No, guys, I eat all those things. There's nothing wrong with this. What is wrong with you guys?
So we want the egg to be between 16 and 20 weeks?
16 and 18, Barry.
18, okay.
16 and 18, if you really want to have a good taste of one. I've tasted them all. I don't drink, so I had the 22.
The gestation period is only like 4 weeks more, and this thing's going to hatch.
Yeah, basically, if you get the 22. But 16, you're still middle way here, okay?
Oh, I didn't think about that. So, like, legit, it's like ready. It's a
yes.
Yeah,
it's 20.
It's
a duck.
An egg.
Like a premature, prematurely at 22, you can actually have a duck. Essentially, if they wouldn't abort,
I'm feeling queasy right now.
Guys, you're making this worse than this.
Oh, no, I'm not.
No.
All right, listen, Ray.
You're on your own on this one.
Man, you can tell us we're making it not so good, but. Buddy, it's a duck.
I ate six of these.
It's a dead duck.
I ate six of these in one night.
It's a dead rotten duck.
No, it's not rotten. I'm trying to look. It's not.
What do they do with it after 16 weeks?
All right,
it's a fermented duck.
No. All right, these eggs are they have to be specifically.
Now do they put like?
What?
Moonshine in the egg process?
No. Here's what
that's
they do. Would you guys focus? It is so hard to focus you guys. All right, especially now. Why balut? All right. So what they do is they have to.
It's a show about fishing, and we're talking about ducks. Of
well,
course.
We talked about fishing. Now we're going to talk about because you have to talk about strange things. You're here, anyway. So what you do is you get these eggs, and these people are specific. It's like when you get your chickens. You know, you got the ones that are organic. These ducks are really looked after, and they really pay attention to the quality. So then they take the 16, 18, 20, 21, 22-week eggs. That's the only ones I've tried so far. And they boil them, and so they're ready to be hatched, but they boil them. They put them in a cooler, bring them down, and then they sell them to eat. And so there's no rotten to it, but it is.
So it's a cooked
Yeah, it's a board.
It's cooked. Okay.
Now, in an egg, you have the white and the yellow, right? It's a typical egg. And they taste like, all right, it don't taste the same, but because there's other fluid in there. But you got the white and the yellow egg, and it's about what and what. It's a duck egg. You know?
It's a hard-boiled egg?
Basically.
With a side of meat?
Yeah, essentially.
With feathers? It's a hard-boiled duck fetus.
Yes! That's exactly...
what this is.
That's exactly what it is.
I feel like that's so much work. Why not just stop at day zero?
Barry. You take a duck egg, you throw it over in the corner.
Let's just
leave it set for
a few weeks.
4 months, basically.
And then you boil it up and...
You have to watch it. Did you not watch the video of me eating this?
Oh, man.
You didn't watch the video of me eating that thing?
No, I don't want...
the video right now?
No, I'm showing him the picture of what's inside the egg.
You got to show him the video.
I don't have it.
Yeah.
You can see that.
I got the video. I'll show it to you later.
Do you really need a video?
All right, so here's what the same stuff that I was telling you guys that they sprinkled on the dry fish is the same kind of stuff they put in the egg. So what you do is you take the...
I have a feeling this is all they have for seasoning.
No. But it's really good. And so they use it on strange things, like the dry fish, the balut, and the sea urchin.
Crap. Put this on it.
That's not entirely.
No, it's hot.
It's our ketchup.
It's spicy.
It's our ketchup is what this is.
Actually, their ketchup is made with bananas. It's amazing. It's a banana ketchup. It's really, really good.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding. It's banana ketchup. It is so good.
Tell me what's in a banana ketchup.
There's dye to make it red, but the banana ketchup is so sweet and so good. You would never eat ketchup again other than banana ketchup. You can get it right here at the Asian store next to Dairy Queen. Banana ketchup. It is amazing.
I'm going to starve.
Oh, my. So Kale's sitting here with some Mountain Dew and a bag of garlic rye chips from the gas station. He cannot deal with banana chips or duck embryos.
I think that's what balut means, is baby duck embryo.
It means wrapped.
Yeah, probably.
In Asian language, it technically means wrapped.
Balut?
Yes.
No, I think it means duck egg.
It means wrapped.
Okay. I have to ask the wife.
Wrapped.
I don't speak the language.
Okay. All right.
I don't speak the language that good, but I'll ask her.
I already Googled it.
In Philippines?
No, I Googled it here in the U.S.
No.
I don't want to know where I said it. If I don't know where I said it, how am I going to interpretate it?
Okay, that's not even right.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't know.
Oh, my God.
It depends on what part of Asia you are. I mean, if you go to Indonesia, that's fake Asians. I mean, it's not even real Asians.
Oh, geez.
Guam, it's like a fake Asian. You got the Philippines. That's pretty much the Asian of the Asians. I mean, they are the Asians.
Shows are getting better and better every night.
The
Tagalog or Malay word for balut or balot means rap.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. If she comes back and says it's rap, I'm going to laugh. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
I'm going to laugh because you got one of those running around inside you now.
No, I've got like 100 of these things. I've eaten a lot.
It sticks to your ribs.
You know what's worse? I told the story inside.
Yeah, I can tell you what's worse. 24 hours later.
The next colonoscopy.
You've got to pass a beak.
No. All right, at 16 to 18 weeks, you don't taste the beak or the bones, I promise you. But at 22 weeks, you taste the feathers, you taste the beak, you taste the bones, you taste it all.
Kale, his next colonoscopy, the doctor should be like,
what have you been eating? Where'd the feathers go?
All right, for the record, I ain't that old enough yet to have a colonoscopy.
It's going to stick in you, though, right?
No.
It's like corn.
Oh, my God.
The whole thing about it here is if you do the duck thing, you're so cleaned out, you don't have to worry about anything.
Well, the feathers definitely got to help kind of collect on the walls of your intestine, right? Coming out of there.
Dust the floors.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so back to...
It's dusting it. All right. So we've dusted that.
Was
there any saving this in the last, like, 3 minutes?
Nope. Probably not. I will tell you one more thing. I had a great time in the Philippines, and you know I love catching grouper out here, right? I have never caught a grouper like the one they caught. They have a rainbowish grouper. I do not know what it's called. I'll get you the name. But this thing is green and red. Most beautiful fish I've ever seen in my life.
Really? How big is it? Like,
it was this big. There was two guys on a they call them motorcycles, but they're really like a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And there was a guy riding it. The fish was in between it, and the guy on the back seat, his grin was bigger than this trailer. I kid you not.
He's eating for a week.
They're going to sell this bad boy.
Oh,
right?
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to sell
it. That's a whole new scooter.
Yeah, that's a... So he is holding his grouper, and I'm like, did I see what I just saw? So I'm chasing this guy down. And sure enough, I got the translation, it is called a grouper, but it's not called rainbow grouper. But I got to find out what the name of it is. Absolutely gorgeous fish. I mean, just a beautiful fish.
Did you buy it?
No. Okay. No, I did not buy it. There's no way I could have ate all that. I mean, it's a lot of meat. I mean, I would have had to have every one of my wife's family over to eat. All of them.
You do that anyway. This is all like, I'm going to have everybody over. You have everybody to your house. Everybody goes to the Dinah's house.
I'll see if I can get the picture of it. Wow.
It's Mike.
The bat phone. It's Mike.
Mike's calling us.
Mike's on the phone. Oh, boy.
Commissioner Gordon here. Batman.
All right, so listen, I guess we should pray us out.
Why don't you say grace?
All right.
And that way they can enjoy their duck eggs and late in the sun to eat fish.
Really?
Okay. So what did you find out there?
Another beautiful looking fish. All right, let's pray our way, and then we'll get started. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks for another time to fellowship and get the word out there to the people. And Father, we want to give you thanks for all the food and the drinks that we have. And Father, going to third world countries, Father, we recognize where many people are without food, without water, sometimes without shoes or shelter. So Father, we give you thanks for what we have. But Father, we ask you to bless those without. We ask you to provide for them. Lord, just provide them the comfort, the food, and the shelter that they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I don't know if any of that's working. It looks like it is. Hopefully this all came out right. And we're going to see really what happened with all this. Where the life went in the last days. Okay. So, this is Cooking Fish. Fishing Frank here. Captain Barry over there. Captain Kale over there. And Pastor Donnie in the far reaches of the trailer.
The studio.
I'm in the corner where I belong.
Again.